Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Thursday, December the 11th, 2025. And as always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. So joining me in studio today is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Tony Vitagliano.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And a lot to talk about today. And before we do, Wesley, give us a deer hunting update. You were in the woods this morning.
Yeah.
You missed our show prep meeting, so you have no idea what we're going to talk about.
Except for. Let me defend myself here, because nobody else in this, and T.I. is going to do it.
That wasn't a negative accusation. I was just stating facts.
I would like to say that I worked from the deer stand this morning. I read every email that went out.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I went above and beyond.
You're prepared?
Briefly.
How can you read news stories while watching for a buck?
Okay,
how does that work exactly?
Yeah, so you hang from a tree, and you get on your phone, and you glance.
Okay.
So you're half in, you're half out.
So you hang
from a tree.
Glance down, glance up.
I'm in and out.
Okay, hang, glance, and okay.
Yeah, gotcha. And glide. Yeah. And
that doesn't sound very safe to me, Tony.
I don't know. I mean, no one really pays attention to the news anyway. So
that's
right. People glance at the news today.
Okay.
You know,
well, that's
to
why
see.
We're here.
That's, yeah.
That's right.
We're going
to
make
that's
a difference.
Right. We're here to make the news of the day, break it down for you.
But I did miss the show prep this morning, so I am looking to see out of the storage we sent around what we're going to hit first.
Okay. Show prep, for those listeners who don't know inside baseball lingo of the radio world, that is a meeting we have every morning, Fred. Prepping for this show because we know our listeners can count on.
Go over the big stories of the day.
Big stories, yeah.
Yep. Well, speaking about deer hunting, for those that do deer hunt, understand that cold temperature drops really help with deer activity, and that's going to happen this weekend.
I really don't care.
Yeah.
You don't care about it. You know what? That's great. You know, he is paying attention. That's going to lead into one of our stories this morning. So he's actually ahead of the curve. No,
what I'm saying, I don't like that, what you just talked
that's
about.
That's right.
You don't receive it.
I'm going full charismatic on
that's
you right,
right
here.
Yeah.
And I don't receive that weather.
You rebuked that.
I know that weather changes help the cold air helps the deer hunting.
Other than that, though, I agree with you, by the way. Well, I tell my wife all the time, if it wasn't for deer hunting, I have no purpose in cold weather. I support Tim Wildman's position.
Right. I think we need to declare, especially extreme cold weather, as a hate group. That way we're able to attack it. Yeah. All right, Fred, on a serious note, we got a lot to talk about, including we're going to be getting to some weather stories this morning.
Yeah, well, why don't we start with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't think, Wesley, you would enjoy deer hunting in North Dakota over the next few days.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Minus 45. I don't think you'd have your phone out.
That's life-threatening. That's serious.
It is.
No joke.
You do not go out in that at all. And then minus 20 chill factors. We're talking across Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, over into New England. That's what they're going to get. So you've got the snow cold area there in that block, if you can imagine a map of the country. So you've got that kind of mid to northeast. Mm-hmm. But then out on the west coast, we have the story on AFN.net right now. Thousands of people are likely going to be forced to be evacuated from their homes in Washington state because of heavy, and it's almost an understatement, heavy rainfall. No, we're talking torrential rains. We're talking what has happened is the jet stream originating out of the Hawaiian Islands has flowed up to and coming into the continental United States in Washington, D.C. And it is a steady stream. Imagine a steady stream of water coming out of your hose, your garden hose. Well, this jet stream, which normally is just fast-moving air, is now carrying tons and tons of water, and it's being dumped on Washington State. So you have flooding, serious flooding is already occurring, and there is really no end in sight to this. And that's why communities there, and I know, Tim, you've been up in the Northwest there, yeah. north of Seattle, towns like Bellingham are probably you're familiar with.
You know, that's interesting you should say that, and you didn't know this. I text my friend who lives in Linden,
yes,
Washington, which is right up near the Canadian border. You're familiar with that territory. Yep. You lived up in that on the Canadian side, to ask him, you know, how they're doing, just checking in on them, wanting to know I care about them, praying for them. Haven't heard back from him. That was only 30 minutes ago or so. But he lives in Linden near Bellingham.
Yep.
And that's the area affected, part of the area, Seattle.
Part of the area affected all the way down to Mount Rainier because, you know, there are a lot of rivers in that area. Mount Baker is up around where Linden, where you're just talking about. But down at Mount Vernon area, as you move down the I-5 towards Seattle, all of that area in there, there are so many streams and rivers. Basically, they're flooding. Some of the images coming out of there, it's just horrible.
So now, that's the concern, the flood. That's the reason they're evacuating. That was going to be my question.
Yes, because of the flooding. It is not uncommon in that part of the world to have rain. Having lived there for 10 years, you know, the rain starts in November and goes through to April. Mm-hmm. But this is severe flooding. Normally, you get rain for a day. It may let up for a couple of days.
A lot of mist, right? A lot of dreary days.
Yeah, a lot of dreary weather, a lot of gray weather. But this is highly unusual.
Well, this is called, Tony, and I'm sure you can break this down for us. This is a atmospheric river.
Yeah, so I was having to do some research. To everybody's surprise, I'm not the the weather expert, the meteorologist.
I wonder where you're about to go with this
on the show. But
if you need any help, I got you.
I was kind of ahead of it. I was doing a little bit of research. Google, at least, just disclosure, is describing this as a week-long parade of storms. So the jet stream is just basically going to keep this rain over the same area for a week. Which I mean, that would cause flooding anywhere. But I'm going to say too that since, you know, this area of the country receives lots of rainfall anyways, the ground is often saturated. I would be concerned about some, you know, maybe some landslides types of events like that. So
there's
praying for those people.
On this the other side of the country, what you're talking about here is okay. The freeze warnings for are going to go as far south as Jacksonville and northern Florida over the weekend. Yeah, in fact, and that's why they were saying in the northern part of the U.S., it's no laughing matter. It's like stay inside and get your pets taken care of because it's not going to be 32, 25, or 20. It's going to be like zero and under, right, Fritz?
Yes, that's right. I'm just looking even locally here. Sorry, Tim, to report this to you.
Well, I've already looked ahead.
Sunday, folks, here in North Mississippi, the overnight low, 17 degrees. The high for the day on Sunday here in the Deep South, 33.
Wow. Yeah. Here's your issue, I think, for a lot of people. Tomorrow it's 65 degrees and sunshine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where we live.
Yeah.
We're talking about where we live here in Tupelo, Mississippi, but this kind of drop is going to happen across much of the country over the weekend. Okay, so you're going from 65 degrees tomorrow during the day, and then the high Sunday is 32, with the low being 16. Now, if you go up to, let's just say we go up to Chicago. You talk about a drop in carjackings. carjackings are going to go way down over the weekend. Listen, Saturday 13 is the high.
Yeah.
In Chicago, 13 the high on Sunday and 3 degrees the low. So
wow,
it's just it's a Arctic. I don't know if you call it a vortex. That's what they're calling it now.
Polar vortex.
Polar vortex. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let it be noted that Al Gore was wrong.
Yeah.
And all the dire predictions. Now, this is a snapshot in time. It's going to warm up again. But I'm saying these people who issue, who for the last 30 years have been saying we're all going to die of global warming.
Yeah. That's why they had to change it to climate change.
Oh, yeah.
So that when it does get hot during the summer again, right. You know, when somewhere has a record high temperature, they can say, you see, look at this.
Right. So it's an I win, you lose.
Yes, exactly.
Situation. I never will forget a couple of years ago, whenever it was, maybe it's more like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Remember we had this tornado that hit Mayfield, Kentucky? It just leveled the town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of listeners in that area.
We do.
8 Days of Hope went there. Did a lot of great work. But I remember Biden visiting the town, Joe Biden, then the president, visiting the town of Mayfield, and then declaring that this was an example of what global warming, what global warming causes, as if we've never had tornadoes,
mm-hmm.
right. You know, before global
warming. Especially that part of the country.
Before global warming. So the global warming scare was just that, and now it's fading, and not even the mainstream media is talking about it so much. Bill Gates, who is a big alarmist for many years, he's now saying, hey, it's not as bad as I said it was. I think you said, quote, my bad, end quote.
Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's That's perfect. Right. Hey, we all miss the mark from time to time. It's just that I missed the mark for 20 years.
That's right.
But now, now there's a little inside war there going on among the global climate people. Al Gore is attacking Bill Gates as, you know, selling out.
Yes.
Right.
And so we'll see how that goes. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issue. So in all seriousness, the weather coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to be careful.
You got to be careful and check on people like the elderly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People maybe who don't know what's about to happen.
Right.
Because their pipes are going to freeze and it's going to, you know, we're talking that kind of weather.
Yes.
For probably half of the country geographically coming. And again, as I said, deep freeze warnings for people even in northern Florida. So.
Yeah. And, you know, just a couple of tips. Before all of this happens this weekend, make sure those outdoor taps are covered, water taps. You've got that on. And leave your taps on at night.
Make sure that's important.
Mm-hmm. Leave a trickle running all night so that it doesn't lock up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So just be aware of that. And if you got pets, folks, you got to find some shelter.
You got to bring them in somewhere. Pets will die in this kind of weather.
Yes.
People know that pretty much. But what about like livestock? Does that matter? I'm not a farmer, but or a rancher.
No.
Of course, people who are know how to take care of their animals in a situation like this. But I just wonder.
I'm just shocked and disappointed that y'all have not shown any concern for the iguana.
That's the iguana.
Well, the iguanas in Florida, they have a keen sense of what's on the way.
Sure, they
right.
sort of know they're about
kind
to
freeze up.
They know
a
they're
bit.
About to fall out of trees.
Kind of freeze up,
and they make plans for that. You know, they get life insurance, things of that
right.
nature.
Yeah,
in the iguana world, it's,
I'll update you after the show, Tony, on the iguanas if you don't know.
There will be falling iguanas in Florida.
It's been it's part of the show now. They really happened. Google it.
No, I know.
I've been around them.
If you happen to be under the tree, it ain't funny. It's not funny. All right, Fred. What's on a more serious note?
Yeah,
yes,
you got something going on.
Right. Yes, kind of serious. You guys, fans of Marvel movies, Captain America.
Ed's not here.
I'll fill in for him. Yeah, I'm also a fan.
Okay.
Big fan. There's one of those movies, and I'm not an expert, but there's one of those movies. The big scene is these commandos come down helicopters, and they dump these commandos on a big ship.
Is that what the military does, Fred? They dump?
Yeah, they just dump them down there.
They dump their commandos?
They take over, a ship.
Yeah, and they run around, and they basically take control of the ship. Well, there are images out there today that have nothing to do with a Captain America movie. All right? In the middle of a news conference yesterday dealing with something totally different, President Trump made this announcement, cut number 5.
From the standpoint of news, as you probably know, we've just seized a tanker on the coast of Venezuela, large tanker, very large, largest one ever seized, actually. And other things are happening, so you'll be seeing that later, and you'll be talking about that later with some other people.
Yep. Why do I want to laugh when I hear him talk about the largest one ever seized?
I think he knows. I think he knows it's the meme, is to say the largest, the best, the biggest.
Great but, big I mean, boat. We're talking about a serious story here, and I can't help
Listen,
but laugh.
Listen, we all got nervous habits, okay? That's a nervous habit of
Trump's?
His. Yes.
Let's hear that again. Yeah. I just got to hear it one more time.
From the standpoint of news, as you probably know, we've just seized a tanker on the coast of Venezuela, large tanker, very large, largest one ever seized, actually, and other things.
It's almost like the
largest one ever seized.
Big boat.
You know when you listen to a comedian who does an impression, and you hear the impression, and you can usually tell the difference slightly.
Yes. Right.
But there's so much about it that's funny and humorous. When he does it and you listen to the comedian, they're both so identical. Because usually
when he gets through with his presidency, he could go on tour as himself.
Yeah, just so.
Okay. And be all right, listen. Okay.
Yeah, we got to get to the story, though.
This is a serious story, so I apologize if people said, why are you laughing? But when you hear Trump talk sometimes, the way he speaks and things he says, this has nothing to do with his policies and which we applaud for the most part. I mean, I can't think of anything right off but still it's sometimes humorous the way he brags about having the best eggs in the morning. So I mean, it's just amazing to me to hear him go, but it's the biggest tanker in the history of the world that was ever seized. Okay, so this was a serious situation. It is a serious situation, Fred, because U.S. commandos, which are like SEALs and like Rangers, I don't know if commandos are a specific Army Rangers, somebody like
it
that.
It says the Coast Guard. I think it was Coast Guard.
Okay, the Coast
backed
Guard.
Backed up by the Navy.
Mm. Okay, so they literally rappel from a helicopter or helicopters and seize this tanker. Yeah. And was it at, like, off the coast of Venezuela?
Yeah, these helicopters lifted off from the carrier USS Gerald R. Ford, our biggest carrier. And off the coast of Venezuela, this ship was seized. There's a story from the AP out there. The ship goes by the name of Skipper. And the reason that the administration is giving for the seizure of this vessel, they say it's been carrying oil to terrorist-supporting nations like Iran from Venezuela, all right? So they've been tracking this thing for a while. It actually goes back, I think, awareness of this tanker goes back to 2022. And the tanker itself, I believe, it's a network, according to the AP, was reportedly run by a Switzerland-based Ukrainian oil trader, the U.S. Treasury Department has said. Anyway, they took over this big tanker.
What are we going to do with it?
I'm not sure. The story does not tell us what it's going to do. I am assuming it's going to be towed to a U.S. territory somewhere, perhaps Puerto Rico. I'm not sure.
All right. Let me ask you.
This is all part of President Trump and the Trump administration's war against Venezuela.
Right.
War undeclared.
Undeclared. Yes. Undeclared.
All right, Tony, what's going on here?
Well, it looks to me like we're trying to continuing to tighten the noose. So things that we were letting slide. I mean, like Fred said, this has been going on. This tanker's part of a shadow network of other tankers that move oil to sanctioned states. And so this is nothing new. I think why we're focusing our attention on it now is it's part of a broader focus, or it's actually a more narrow focus on Venezuela and putting pressure on Maduro. That's what I think this boils down to. That's the only explanation I can think of as to why now all of a sudden we decide to target this tanker. because it helps the narrative also that, you know, this.
What about if we just want the oil?
Well, maybe we could get it from other sources.
Yeah, and I think two things can be true at the same time.
Not on the tanker. I'm talking about taking over Venezuelan oil fields.
Oh,
what
well,
about that?
You mean taking over the Venezuela oil fields?
I don't know if they have fields. Aren't they out in the Gulf mostly? They're
yes.
platforms?
Yeah.
If you were to ask,
you do both,
I think
right?
If you were to ask the opinion of most of the people in the room, I would say our focus is more so on Venezuela. Venezuela's maybe oil and less about Maduro, but I could be wrong, and maybe it is just about getting rid of Maduro. I don't know.
Or it could be getting rid of Maduro so that you get a friendly administration in
right.
there so that you can have better oil
business
dealings.
Yeah, I don't know.
And cut out the narcotics.
It seems very provocative to me. Like we could have done this any time, right?
Yes.
With the justification that's been given here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There's not anything Venezuela can do about it. They don't have the military capabilities to do anything about it, Fred. So maybe this is President Trump saying, I will take what I want and you will leave when you will eventually... as Tony said, tightening the noose to get rid of Maduro.
Yep. Yeah,
but Maduro is the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's the dictator of Venezuela. He
yes.
is
really bad person.
He's mm-hmm. hated by millions within Venezuela because of the way he's cracked down military. He's turned it into like a tyrannical country. Venezuela is a very beautiful country. I wanted to go one day to there. Those waterfalls that are world famous. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten the exact name of them, but and I've known Venezuelans. I think that's correct pronunciation.
Yeah, yes.
And they're the ones I've known are very friendly people, a lot of Christians in Venezuela. So but they are under a situation that's a lot of them would like to see a change over in the government.
No question. The opposition leader, who has been forced into hiding now mm-hmm. for 2 weeks, or 2 years, pardon me, she has been given the Nobel Peace Prize earlier this week.
Right.
And it had to be accepted by her family because she was even scared to go to that ceremony. But the other little sidebar story to this one is that the other big customer for Venezuelan oil is China.
Yeah.
So how is China going to react to this?
I think that's part of the Trump administration's strategy for mm-hmm. this pressure on Maduro is to box out China from our hemisphere. Yeah. If you can isolate Venezuela and then bring them alongside as a trading partner almost exclusively to us and our allies here, then you do put pressure on China 100%.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take our break right here. This break you're about to hear is going to be the biggest break in the history of radio. I would just say nobody's ever seen anything like this break that's coming up right now. People are still talking about it, and it hasn't even happened yet. So we'll be back. My hands are moving up like a orchestra conductor.
That's it.
Because that's what Trump does, right?
That's exactly what he does. Yes.
Huh? Never a dull day with President Trump, right? In his administration.
Nope.
We shall return momentarily with Sandy Rios. She'll join us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're here Monday through Thursdays. On Friday, we have Trivia Friday. That's tomorrow. So if you want some education, some learning, then...
The best learning.
It's the best learning university is what we call it. That's tomorrow at 10:05 Central Time on American Family Radio. Monday through Thursday, we do the best we can to depress you with the news of the day. And
do a pretty good job of it, too.
And we try to pick stories that are going to bring people down, and Fred does a good job of that.
You got a great team that helps, too.
We do.
That too.
We,
yeah,
do.
Exactly.
We do.
It's not, any one person here.
We call them the downer team, and they do a great job. Listen, before we get to our guest, Sandy Rios, I wanted to remind people, on a happier note, we've got some wonderful tours coming up in 2026, and if you want to join us, I'll tell you how, and I'll tell you the tours that we got planned here real quickly. And these tours I lead, or Stephen McDowell goes with me of the Providence Foundation, Alice, my wife, goes, Wesley and Walker, so it's my son. So we really put a lot of time, energy, and effort into planning these tours, and thousands of people have gone with us over the years, and so we've got a 5 out of 5 review. Why, you ask? How is that possible? 5 out of 5 review. That's because we don't have reviews.
That's right.
And so I'm the one who rates it, and I'm a dictator.
That's right. So I thought you were going to say because you've done it for so many years that you've weeded out all the problems.
I don't put our tours on a rating system because I don't want to. When you put everything you can into providing a great service for people,
yes,
I don't want people saying the salad dressing was bad on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to read that. Okay, I don't want to read that. So there's no ratings of tours. You're just going to have to trust us on this one.
In all seriousness, every time you do something, you learn something, get a little better. And at this point, you've been doing tours for how long?
Since 91. Since 2000. Since 99.
Okay, 99.
Well, 99.
The rating is that people keep coming back. Same people keep coming back
on
through tours.
We're full on our tours usually 3 months in advance. Like, we've got a Holy Land tour scheduled for March, and we're full.
Yeah.
We're full. And now we're going to go in 2027, Lord willing. But I'm just saying we're full. So we fill up 3 months in advance on all our tours. So here's what I wanted to say. In June and September, we've got our tours planned of Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's like a Sunday night through a Wednesday. And then Wednesday night, we start our Washington, D.C. Heritage Tour. And we also include George Washington's Mount Vernon on Saturday. Now, Stephen McDowell, who is a genuine, real historian, president of the Providence Foundation, goes with us on these tours. So you're just not going to have to be asking questions of me, which I could answer.
Mm-hmm.
But why do that when you have a real historian,
right,
Stephen McDowell, there to answer the questions? And he talks along the way. He
paints a picture.
He's a walking encyclopedia, mm-hmm, of American history and our Christian heritage.
Right.
So these are tours unlike where you just go to a tour and they say, hey, look at that. Go there. See that. No, we give you the reasons.
And we're with you the whole time. We don't drop you off.
That's
and come
right.
back.
That's right.
The people, the places, the events, we go all through it. And as you say, Wesley, if you join us for both the Williamsburg and the D.C. parts, we take care of you for a whole week.
That's right.
Pick you up at the airport, and we take care of you for the whole with our bus, and we take care of you for the whole week. So
there's a lot of good memories made.
Yeah.
People bring their kids.
Yeah. So those tours are in June and September. And if you want to read about them, go to this website I'm about to give you, wildmangroup.com, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, group.com, and you can read everything about them. They do cost money, so it's not free. Okay, you do have to pay for the trip, obviously, and so go to wildmangroup.com and read all about it. Now, those tours, we've added a tour last year, which we're going to repeat in 2026, of Boston, Massachusetts, and the greater area, like Plymouth Rock, like Lexington and
Concord.
I mean, so that's another tour that we've introduced.
The Freedom Trail's a day and a half.
Yeah, in Boston. And that tour filled up last year quickly. So that's in September. So, again, all the information on any of the tours that I've just mentioned are available at wildmangroup.com. You can read about them there, the itinerary, the cost.
Tim Barton joined us in Boston for the first time
from
Wall Builders. He's looking to be with us as we do our Boston, as we grow it, because as you mentioned, last year was our first year, and so he came along. And Steve,
and we moved the Boston trip to September as well because the weather's better. Weather's better.
That's right.
In September, generally in Boston. All right.
So wildmangroup.com.
That's right. So check it out if you want to join us on any of those tours in the year 2026. You are listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Tony, and Fred. And joining us now is our good friend and our colleague, Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast, found here on at our website, afr.net, very popular podcast that Sandy does twice a week. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim, and everybody else.
Thank
you. Good morning.
Good morning. And I know you live in Florida, and you did see the iguanas are going to be falling out of the trees, right?
Do you know this? No, that's a story. I did not read that story. You know, ask me anything about what's going on in the world, I could tell you, but not what's going on in Florida. So
yeah.
Tell me about the iguanas falling from the trees.
Okay, I'll just tell you.
You asked.
Deep freeze warnings, Jacksonville, probably central to northern Florida coming up. I know you don't care and don't want to hear about that. You haven't grown up in Illinois and spent many years in Chicago. two of cold weather doesn't bother you. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Sandy, you mentioned last time you grew up in southern Illinois, and this is the Christmas season, and I just wanted you to talk about what Christmas means. This is going to be the easiest interview you've ever done, Sandy. what Christmas means to you, and give me a Christmas memory or two from, you know, when you say heartland of America, I can't think of any more heartland than southern Illinois. That's just, Americana right there. Go ahead.
It is the truth. Well, what it means to me, I think I sang in my church's Christmas program last Sunday. I had two performances. And I just come in from Chicago, delayed by the ice and so cold, Tim, so I almost didn't make it. But,
Oh, you mean you were singing at your home church in southern Illinois or in Chicago?
No, Florida. I was coming back to Florida after being in Chicago.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Delayed with the cold weather, so it's kind of a blend of the things you just said. And I have to tell you, Tim, I really think the older I get, the more the story of redemption, the beautiful, music helps us to express the Christmas story in lots of different ways. It's the same story, not dull, but it's expressed in completely different ways, melody, words. And so music helps us discover afresh new concepts. And because it combines left and right brain, it is just the best way to worship. And I stand by that. I think the songs we did and the depth of their meaning Isn't That Why He Came was one of the songs. Isn't That Why He Came? To sing Save a Lost World. It sounds so simple, but it just hits me again. And because I see the world, you know, I talk about these, you know, I'm, what do you call me, Debbie Downer? I am Debbie Downer.
Yeah, well, the label just stuck with you. I gave it to you.
Reason, you know, because the world is really, we can see that it's coming apart. Right. And the more I see that, the more this means beautiful things to me. I just honestly elevated to a place of worship beyond measure. And I don't think I had, of course, that same appreciation when I was a kid, because how could you? You don't have life right. experiences. But I grew up in a home where my parents had been very poor.
Was that in the Carbondale area or Mount Vernon, or where was this?
No, we lived 15 miles from the Kentucky border and 15 miles from the Indiana border.
Okay.
Excuse me for my bad voice here. They had come to Christ late, almost 40, and they had come up in poverty. So our Christmases weren't poor. I'm not saying that. I'm saying my parents were. And so the way we celebrated Christmas was really like my mother would get me pantyhose or a clip for a sweater. You know, we didn't have all, you know, opulent Christmases. Mostly, and I'm not complaining about that.
Right.
I usually got a doll, which was I remember the first year I didn't get a doll, I cried. I was 12 years old. Mm. I'm not going to get a doll anymore. But we had a sweet Christmas, however simple.
Yeah.
And I think my mother was a great cook, and that was central to it. But, you know, what happened with me, Tim, really it's kind of a sad story, but I will just say Sasha was born in July of...
Your daughter.
My first child.
Yeah.
July of 1974, and proceeded to 3 months to start having seizures. That's part of my story that a lot of people know. And it was the beginning of just a horrible lifelong illness for her, brain damage. And I remember right before Christmas, that first year she was born, they had to shave her head, and she had beautiful, beautiful dark brown hair, lots of it. And that was our first Christmas, was her little lifeless body with a shaved pat, like a bald person, right? Hot hair, like an old man, hair on the sides and bald at the top. And so Christmas, where a lot of people had joy with their children, it was almost always, it's just a bittersweet, yeah. You know? But I did music. You know, music was my life. And every year I celebrated, excuse me, every year I did concerts, beyond measure, soloist for this and that. And Christmas was always that wonderful music I described to you. So that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And so now Christmas is, because it's deeper for me as an older person who understands the world and is so grateful to God. And I have a wonderful husband, and God has blessed us in so many ways. Now I'm experiencing Christmas the way maybe some people have for years.
Yeah, amen. Talking to Sandy Rios, and I just we didn't have a topic per se today. So I said, hey, tell us some memories of Christmas, because everybody loves those memories of Christmas, the good, bad. Sandy sharing some tough times that she remembers with Sasha.
Can I tell you a funny one?
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. I got to be careful how I tell this. I love to have people in my home. After I was divorced, I think I still entertained a lot and had different kinds of people. And there was this one set of people who were a little strange, like really strange. And when I told my dad I was having them for Christmas dinner, he said, "Why did you invite them?" This is the kind of thing it was. So the gentleman had a stroke.
Right.
So we set this huge, beautiful table, and they sat down, and he was sitting to my right. And immediately, when he sat down, he took out his false teeth and laid them on the table between our plates.
No, he did not do that.
No, he did, and I couldn't say anything about it, and I think I must have covered it.
Was your dad there? Did he see this?
Oh, yeah. No, my dad didn't say anything.
No, did he? But he saw it, and then he's looking at you like, I told you.
Yeah, well, pretty much. But there was more. I mean, there was weird behavior because they're weird. So we talk, we have our lunch, you know, and then it's time for them to go.
You had your own version of Christmas vacation there.
Yeah, but I'm not done. I'm not done.
Okay.
It's time to go, and I can't use the name because I don't want to say.
They're still alive.
The gentleman who He said he couldn't speak clearly because he had this stroke. He said, he can't find his teeth. I can't find my teeth.
Oh, my word.
I put them in my pocket. And I'm telling you, my mother and I went through every garbage bag with our hands, all the food that had been discarded, trying to find his teeth. And so finally my dad, this goes on forever. Then finally my dad says, well, he says he put them in the pocket. Look in the coat closet. And how could he put them in the coat closet? And so I go to the coat closet, and I'm putting my hand down the pocket of every coat. And I come, like 10 coats in, I come to my son's coat. I put my hand in my son's coat pocket, and it was this gentleman's teeth.
And your son, Merry Christmas.
And the only regret I had was that I found them. I would love for my son to have gone to school on Monday, and put his hand in the pocket and found the teeth. But that's one of the things.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Put them in my pocket. He kept saying that.
Oh my word!
How did they end up in your son's pocket? Did you just pick them up, or
he doesn't? He didn't have the faculty explain that, so I have no idea.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know how he did.
That's the mystery that remains today.
Exactly.
How the dentures got in your son's pocket. Yeah.
You could add a verse to the song, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
I could.
I want them all.
Every one of them, not just two.
Fred, that's good.
That's good.
Or if I were still doing concert work, I could tell the story, then sing the song. You know, but anyway.
Oh, my
that's
word.
That's one of the funniest things that ever happened.
I'm hurting. Yeah. That's about the funniest thing I've ever heard. Man.
Oh, my.
So you gave them back to him, and they went on their merry way, huh?
And off he went with a warning from my dad, I better not do that again.
Don't ever.
My poor dad, of course, it was my house, and I'm the cook.
Yeah. If you want to do something for that family, we'll take it to their
house.
Okay? We'll take it to their house. Oh, my word. That is so
We'll
funny.
Drop off dinner.
Yeah, that's right. We'll drop off dinner. So, Sandy, you got another podcast for this week, or I just want to give you an opportunity to promote the podcast.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. This week I talked about new reports about how many children have been injured and killed from the COVID vaccine.
Okay.
And we believe that maybe more children were harmed than could possibly ever have been helped. And that's new research, and I talk about it in detail. It's really sickening, Tim.
Okay.
It's so upsetting.
So when is that out there now?
Ask your producer right now, Adam. Adam, he's got
it tomorrow. It'll be released tomorrow.
Okay. And then the second one I interviewed, this was fascinating. There's a new book called The Golden Thread, and it's about the history of Western civilization going back to the Greeks and the Romans. And it's co-written by two history professors, one from Harvard and one from, I believe it was Princeton. Yeah, Princeton. Princeton and Harvard. Both men have been teaching for like 30 years. And the stories that they told, I just interviewed one of them. But he was fascinating. It talks about, Western civilization and how the Greeks, we know some of it, but how the Greeks and Romans, how that interplay happened between those cultures and the language and and the reason, why we might be losing Western culture. What is Western culture? How does it, and architecture and art and all of that. It was fascinating. I highly recommend my own podcast. I do. So,
okay. Well, we do too.
Well, you have great guests on too.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to that one Sandy just described, that podcast is already up.
That's right.
Okay. The ones you mentioned about the vaccines and children having to do with COVID. That's coming up to be released tomorrow. So Sandy releases two podcasts a week. What you need to do is go to AFR.net, click on the podcast, and then you'll see her banner for Sandy Rios 24/7, and you can subscribe there and get Sandy's twice a week podcast. They're always excellent, and you can you can go there and listen to the two she's just described. One of them already out, and one of them will be released tomorrow.
Thank you,
okay,
Tim.
Sandy, I will say this. For the rest of my life, I will never forget that story.
That's right. No.
Shared. That is about to, that would make a, oh, man, that would make a movie right there. Almost by
just needed to stand up and start saying, I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Christmas Vacation.
United States of America.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be like something in Christmas Vacation, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was all right. No, thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Actually happened. Okay. Love you guys. Merry Christmas.
Look out for those falling iguanas in the next couple of days. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
I'll let you
YouTube
know.
Videos all right, out thanks. There on that.
All right. This,
okay.
All right. Sandy
Rios.
Bye bye. That's Sandy Rios. Oh, my word. What would
I don't know.
What would y'all have done in that situation right there?
No, I wouldn't be able to keep it straight.
You're laughing at a man who's lost his teeth.
I would get the belly laughing. I would have to lie. I just have to make up something. Why are you laughing? Here's why I'm laughing. Now, would it make any sense? I don't know, but I couldn't.
What I want to know is how a man who loses his teeth. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
A man who misplaces his dentures.
Right. Yes. Right.
So he's gumming it, right? Yeah. How he expresses himself to explain to you that he's missing his teeth without sounding funny. Tony, what would you do in that situation?
I think you have to
turn your head the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to accept.
I would walk in the other room. And ask somebody else, Allison, to go in there and deal with that.
Yeah.
What now?
I don't know how to put this. Has anyone seen? It's like trying to find your glasses. Yeah. You know, right, when you've misplaced those, you really can't see. Everything's kind of blurring.
Yeah. And then they're on your head.
And then you're on. Then they're on your head.
All right. Goodness. So listen, I understand there are a lot of people listening to us right now who have false teeth. AKA dentures.
I got two.
So, you know, it happens.
Yeah, life, and I'm laughing.
Life
I think
happens.
It's funny.
So, anyway, we're not making fun of people that have dentures. We're making fun of the story.
The situation.
We're laughing at the story that Sandy shared earlier. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Did you guys see this? There's a story that says, we didn't talk about this more, hundreds in quarantine as South Carolina measles outbreak accelerates.
I have not heard that.
So is measles still a thing?
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. You just don't hear about it much. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying it's hundreds in quarantine as South Carolina measles outbreak accelerates. So that's a story to look out for.
Especially just before Christmas. What a thing to be faced with.
Yeah, state epidemiologist, is that how you pronounce it? Said the spike in cases came in the wake of Thanksgiving travel and lack of vaccinations.
Oh.
So maybe they're pushing.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are skeptical here?
Well, they had to throw in
the... You guys don't believe in science?
They had to
throw in the
vaccinations.
I can answer that. No, I do not.
Okay, you don't believe in science. Okay.
Nope.
What did you say, Tony? Why are you smirking?
So this is according to NBC News data. The K-12 vaccination rate for measles, MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, in Spartanburg County was 90% for the 24 through 25 school year.
Yeah.
It's 90%. What do you think when you hear that? 90%?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Right? Pretty good. But that's below the 95% level doctors say is needed to protect against an outbreak.
Okay.
They just pick these numbers out of the air.
Yeah,
they really
exactly
do.
Well, you know, you weren't at 95%.
I'm really disappointed in
so...
you guys here. You don't believe in medical science, I guess. You know,
skeptics.
I would also be curious.
You got to put a clover leaf behind your ear.
I would also be curious to see what the levels of immigration that have occurred in Spartanburg County over the last 4 years.
Let me just say this. I do think that the trust in the scientific community, in the medical experts, was greatly diminished during the COVID pandemic because of all the reasons we could go over that everybody already knows about. Okay, so the trust was broken, and for a lot of people, when you mention things having to do with vaccinations, people get skeptical immediately of what the motivation is, what's going on here. We got to mask up again, you know, and all those things.
I can answer that for you. Huh?
So, anyway, there is evidently an outbreak of the measles in South Carolina. That's
is it the total of 5 people or 20?
Well, they say 16 cases were traced to a church, a particular church. So I guess they're blaming it on the Christians now. I don't know. But measles is a real thing. I mean,
I don't know.
Okay. Well, son, we need to go out for coffee and just have a one-on-one talk.
There's two ends of the spectrum. Skepticism.
I'm not a freak out person either, but good night. Some things are real. And the measles are real. Okay. Yeah. I can show you pictures.
That's
okay?
Right.
Unless you put it up there with Bigfoot, do you?
That's okay. Right.
All right, we're going to take we got about a minute here. Fred?
Yes.
Go ahead.
May I tease for Monday's Today's Issues?
Please do.
One of our stories on Monday is going to be the trial that is starting on Monday for a judge. A judge is going on trial in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, why?
What did this judge do? Well, she had an illegal alien in her court.
Yes, she did.
And she found out there were ICE agents outside looking for said illegal alien.
Mm-hmm.
And what did she do? She escorted this illegal alien out the back door of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to help.
And yeah, which is for a judge to do that?
Well, that's what she's charged with.
Well, all right.
So her trial is on Monday.
So the judge goes to trial.
It's a good start. Next. Needs to be a little bit more of that, in my opinion. But that's just
judge
me.
Goes to trial.
Yep.
Next on Lifetime.
Yep. Stay tuned on Monday.
All right. Thank you, Fred, for that. We shall return with more. We got another half an hour of this here show coming up in 5 minutes. Stay with us.